Okay, so I'm going to talk to you today about the Nutrient Management Certification Program in Delaware and some of the things that we've done since I've come on board at the University of Delaware in 2012. So most people would say, Delaware, you know, where is Delaware? It's this tiny little state, right? But it's this tiny little state that happens to sit right in the middle of a major metropolitan corridor where people prefer poultry, and they like their poultry. And so we are a great place to grow poultry, particularly broiler chickens. So this is actually a really old map of Sussex County, Delaware, and every red star on that map indicates a poultry house. So we're growing over 200 million chickens per year. That is about 200 times the number of people in the state of Delaware. And we have to support them by growing grain crops, mainly corn and soybean. Of course, with all of that poultry, we have a lot of poultry manure, poultry litter generation. So we use a lot of that litter in the production of the grain crops. We still can't produce enough grain crops to feed all of those chickens, so we actually still bring in feed from the Corn Belt. So, you know, work Linda's working on, they're feeding us corn too, which means that they leave their phosphorus with us because the manure does not go back to Indiana. It does not go back to Iowa. It stays with us, and as a result, we have a lot of water quality issues that are related to historical applications of poultry litter, mainly because at the time, about 20 or 30 years ago, our farmers were told by the agronomists, who didn't know better at the time, that it was like adding money to your savings account. You could apply manure at a nitrogen-based rate, and that phosphorus would just build up in the soil, and it would stay there because phosphorus is held very tightly by the soil. So no worries, you can just put it in there, and when you need to take it back out later, you can use it. Unfortunately, we found out pretty quickly that that's not necessarily the case. You can actually reach a saturation point with phosphorus, and at that point, we end up having water quality issues related to phosphorus losses in runoff. And the proverbial crap hit the fan sometime around 1997. You can see Delaware is located here. Here's the Delaware Bay. Here's the Chesapeake Bay. Chesapeake Bay is the most scrutinized watershed in the United States. Lots of money go into water quality restoration. And in 1997, there was a huge fish kill incident that was linked to a little dinoflagellate called Fisteria. And at the time, there were a whole lot of different reports coming out. And the most damning report was all over the headlines, essentially saying that this Fisteria outbreak is related to the use of manure on farm fields in the Mid-Atlantic and Chesapeake Bay region. So even though this was later debunked, that it was not in fact related directly to the manure use, it was over. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so in 1999, our state and several other states in the region actually went forward and produced laws requiring nutrient management. Our particular law requires nutrient management certification, it requires nutrient management planning, it requires phosphorus-based application of manures when our soil test P levels are high, and it also spurred the poultry industry to make changes in the way that they feed the poultry. They started adding the phytase enzyme, which allowed for the phosphorus in the corn to be better used by the animal and the excretion of phosphorus to decline. So lots of good things happening as a result. So the reason I actually have a job is because of the state-mandated certification program. It also makes things a little bit easier when it comes time to evaluate because it's the law. They have to do this. Of course, same with what Faith was saying, we do also impact the horticulture industry, and those mow and blow guys, they will hide from you as long as they possibly can. So who's affected by our law? Who needs to be certified? Anyone with more than 8 animal units or anyone that fertilizes more than 10 acres. So if you think about 8 animal units, an animal unit is 1,000 pounds of live animal. We mainly produce broiler chickens. We have only 8 major dairies. We have 1 major layer operation. We pretty much have no hogs anymore. We grow broilers. And when we say 8 animal units, that's about 3,200 broiler chickens. Our houses, our operations, they're mostly raising about 125,000 or more chickens at a time. So you're either in or out here. If you got a couple chickens in your backyard, you're out. If you raise chickens, you're in. Same thing with our guys who are growing crops. They're well over that 10 acres. Where it really kind of comes down to it is that some of the lawn care companies, they think that if they fertilize a whole bunch of quarter acre lots, they're not in because they don't have 10 acres. Well, guess what? If your quarter acre lots add up to 10 acres, you're in. So I see a lot of people. We have four levels for certification. The amount of education that's required kind of goes up as you move down this list. Our first overall category is the nutrient generator. They make poop. And they don't do anything with it but give it to somebody else to put on the land. Our second category is that private nutrient handler. They apply nutrients only to land that they own or rent, but they manage that land. We also have a commercial nutrient handler. They apply their nutrients as part of a business. This is pretty much where most of our horticulture industry falls in. And then we have our nutrient consultants. And by law, they are the only people that are allowed to write nutrient management plans or animal waste management plans for concentrated animal feeding operations, which is pretty much every broiler farm in Delaware. So if you fall under any of those categories, you have to come and see me for a minimum of 6 hours. And that's a lot different than a lot of other states in our region, where they might have some sort of education requirement for their nutrient management planners, but they don't typically require the entire ag sector to come through and be certified. So every session that we do is about 3 hours of contact time, and you can see here that I'm showing you the different levels of certification. So if you're just generating manure, you're with us for about 6 hours. And then to keep your certification current, you need to go through 6 hours of CEUs every 3 years. So then we get up to our commercial nutrient handlers and our nutrient consultants. They're with us for 12 hours of education, and they are required to pass an examination at the end. And it was there were some comments about, I think Vikram said, about people missing the test, and Faith said about putting math in there. I'll tell you what, we've had people who have failed the test 7 times. I won't note where some of them work because it's somewhat embarrassing, but if you're putting out nutrients, you should be able to figure out how much fertilizer needs to go on 50 acres of land. So just a comment. We cover a lot of things in this 12-hour period. We talk about water quality. A lot of our growers are maybe not so aware of what the water quality issues might be, especially as we're moving forward in this program. Broiler production is continuing to increase, and so we have a lot of new growers who have never grown birds in their life. I do not know why they want to do it, but they're there and they're building 6 new houses, and they don't understand that manure can be linked to water quality issues. They don't understand what it takes to manage your manure. One of my favorite topics is mortality management. We have to talk about that because when your whole house goes down, it's not a good time to figure out who your friends are. A beer and a pizza is not going to cover that mess. We also have a lot of state and federal laws. With the concentrated animal feeding operations, we have the NPDES permits that we have to do now. And then we cover basic soils, and we cover fertilizers, fertility calculations, etc. Just kind of checking on where I'm at here. Can somebody tell me when I have 3 minutes left? I hope. Okay, thanks. Okay, so I took this program over in 2013. Prior to that was really the big push right after the law was passed. And so here I'm just showing you the number of certifications. You can see the big push was early on to get our generators and our private nutrient handlers certified, and then around 2004 we started getting those nutrient management planners involved. And then I took over the program in 2013. And until this time, we really didn't have any kind of program evaluation attached to the nutrient management certification program. And about a year or two ago, as I mentioned, my extension director put this WIG together, this wildly important goal that said everybody's going to need to document their impacts. And I said to Sydney Ridgey, who's the extension agent that works with me, I said, we are in a good place, because this is a state-mandated program, and we have to track all of these people so we can survey them, we can do whatever we need to do within the IRB system, of course. So since the time I've come on, we've certified another 250 individuals. And that you'll see it's roughly split between those nutrient generators and those private nutrient handlers. Another thing to note is we have 121 certified nutrient consultants. I have stars there because we've trained more than that, but they don't always pass the exam. But only about 19 or 20 of them write plans for about 90% of the land in our state. So there's a lot more people out there that aren't really using that certification to the full extent. So some of the tools that we implemented are a lot of the things that Dan talked about, the other folks talked about. It's, you know, what's in your toolbox when you don't have anybody there to help you with evaluation. So what we choose to do was to implement the pre and the post test. We take a pre-test before session one, and we take a post-test after session two. We don't evaluate the knowledge in sessions three and four because most of the people that we get come through one and two. So we chose to do that. So that's our short-term outcome. We also use a post-session evaluation to identify changes in awareness and attitude, and that's another short-term outcome. So that's one of those things where we look at intent before, and we try to assess what they knew before and what they knew after. So before today, did you know you needed to file an annual report, yes or no? And after today, do you think you'll actually submit your annual report? And we see how we do with that. So if we look at some of those short-term knowledge gains and awareness, we have, since 2013, assessed 234 individuals on the pre- and post-test, and we've had 160 of them increase knowledge in some way. I will say sometimes this is a little biased because we get our state environmental people and NRCS that come through, and they score 100 on the pre-test, and they score 100 on the post-test, so I should start weeding them out so I can have a bigger number here. But 21% increase in the average score from the pre-test to the post-test of those 234 individuals. We talked to them about animal waste and nutrient management plans. Again, these are things that are required by law, and a lot of them actually say they didn't know anything about it before they came to us, which is a little bit scary. And so after our trainings, we have 55% of individuals that have indicated that they actually learned about those plans through us. And about 78% have indicated that once they complete our training sessions, they now know what they need to do to comply with the law. And we find this to be really important because Sydney and I are the only two providing training for this initial certification, but we only have three environmental scientists in Delaware Department of Agriculture who are available to help us with enforcement. The other thing we did is we did a survey for behavior change, and we mailed the survey out to about 455 individuals. We offered a CEU, this is our little carrot that we have, and we had 35% of the people talking back to us. And this is just their split among those different certification levels, so a pretty good split. And overwhelmingly, we found that people were saying that they were changing their behaviors, and I just want to quickly highlight three of those. The first one is that they said they changed the way they stockpile litter. So it's a little bit hard to see, but before we started certification, this is what we would see in the field. Prior to land application, there would just be these messy dump piles. They would get wet. It would get soupy, whereas this is the legal way that you can stage your manure. 6-foot conical pile doesn't have to be covered because it crusts and the nutrients don't go anywhere if you do it the right way. And we see evidence of this as we drive around. The second thing they said they changed was about 80% said they changed the way they store or manure or litter on their operation. And so in this picture, it's hard to see, but again, there's water getting into that manure shed. If you have your manure against the sides of the shed, it can actually catch on fire. So what we're seeing now when we ride around, here's a nice heavy use pad, it's all swept up, it's nice and clean, and we see this. And of course, if they don't do this, the farmers actually will report each other, so it's kind of nice. The other thing we saw was an increase in the way improvement in the way they compost their mortalities. So here, this is really like dead chicken waste pile. But if you do it right, you use that poultry litter and you can compost that mortality and then put that compost back with your solid manure and spread it appropriately. And you won't have bones and feathers and goo in that mess. Another thing we found was that they really actually appreciated it. Nobody really wants to come see us for 12 hours, but they have to. But at the end, when they tell us that they thought we did a good job, it was clear, well-organized, and it was useful information, we feel pretty good that 95% of the people say that. And another one says, you know, the horticulture industry said they maybe want something different. They don't want to learn about poultry manure. So we're working on that. So these evaluation results are suggesting that we are successful in increasing knowledge and changing behavior, but we know that we don't go all the way in overcoming barriers. So one of the things we want to do is to look at our continuing education programs and how we can better engage our proactive farmers to lead those trainings, how we can better remove those barriers to behavior change, and how we can highlight modern precision ag practices to increase yield. So I don't think I have any time for questions, but thanks so much.